This morning, our scripture reading is from Psalm 119, starting in verse 105. You can take your Bibles, and as you turn there, turn to Psalm 119, 105. You know, as we sang this morning, so many of the songs really just bring out that biblical truth that Christ Jesus is God in the flesh, and that God sent His Son, Emmanuel, God with us, because there was no other alternative. And no one else could save us from our sins. No one else could free us from sin. No one else could deliver us from the consequences of sin. And so what the law could not do and what we could not do, God Himself did, coming to die on the cross. What a wonderful truth. May God open our eyes to the beauty of that truth. Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and I will confirm it, that I will keep your righteous ordinances. I am exceedingly afflicted. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. O accept the freewill offering of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your ordinances. May my life is continually in my hand, and yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare upon me, yet I have not gone astray away from your precepts. I have inherited your testimonies forever. They are the joy of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever, even to the end. Father, we want to come before you, and Lord, we ask that you would open our eyes to behold wondrous things from your word. Pray that you would incline our hearts to your word. Open our ears. Lord, help us to see the greatness of who you are. Lord, pray that you would do a work in each of our hearts this morning. For those that have trusted Christ and have known Christ and are walking with him, Lord, help us to see the greatness of Christ afresh. Help us to see his beauty. Help us to see his worth. Lord, for those that have never come to trust in Christ, Lord, and they've never come to know you and the salvation that you offer and the transformation you offer, Lord, I pray that today would be that day and that you would open their eyes, help them see that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Thank you, Lord, that Christ Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And he did it while we were enemies. For your word tells us that while we were yet sinners, at the right time, Christ died for us. And Lord, would you cause those truths to open the hearts of those this morning that don't know you. And Lord, we pray that you would cause us to grow in the truth of your word, cause us to grow in maturity, cause us to grow in a love for you. Help us to grow in faith. Lord, help us to grow in walking in greater obedience and submission to you. Pray that you would do these things in our hearts. And Lord, we pray for our congregation, Lord. So many people are sick, having surgeries, dealing with chronic problems, dealing with sickness. And Lord, we pray that you would be ministering to all of it. Thank you that you are the great physician. We thank you that you are the good shepherd. You know how to care for your sheep. And so, Lord, we pray for those that are struggling, those that are hurting, Lord, that you would just lift them up. We pray that you would minister to them in a special way. And so we give you thanks this morning. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, church. How's everybody? Blessed. Good. Praise the Lord. What a great place to be on a Sunday morning, gather with other saints, worshiping God, praying together, encouraging one another, right? There's so many different places that we could be today, and I think it honors God when we continue to meet together, right? To worship Him, to spend time in His Word, and spend time in fellowship. I love what you guys do after service. in the fellowship hall, and I want to just extend a personal invitation after service to hang out. There's always great food, at least the last couple times I was here, and I have the privilege to share with you guys today some updates on what God's doing in Mexico through His church. Church Mexico is a New Testament church planting initiative where we're making disciples that make disciples that get sent out to extend the kingdom of God. And we're doing that in a way where we're just trying to follow in Jesus' footsteps. And it's been really overwhelming as of late to see how many lives are being changed through the local churches that we get to partner with and serve and equip and resource. And Calvary Community Church is part of that and has been for many years. Even before many of you were here, Tony and Miriam were involved in the work that was down there, and they're the ones that kind of introduced us to Calvary, and many of you have helped out over the years. And so thank you for your prayers, for your support. Tony told me that you guys prayed for us this morning, those who gathered. Thank you for doing that. We need that because there's a lot of darkness down in Mexico, if you weren't aware. And so it's a privilege for me to get to come and share about Jesus being the light of the world. And we're going to look at that in a minute. But first, I just want to say I really appreciated the chorus that was here today. A round of applause for them. That was beautiful, wasn't it? Man. Tony, I didn't know you could sing, brother. Good job. What a blessing that was. How many of you know Pam and Larry Lauser? I saw them, had dinner with them last night up in Reading, and they said to be sure to send their love to you guys. And so they hold you guys with, I don't know what the term is in English, great infinity in their heart. And so they sent their love and their blessings. Pray for them. They haven't been able to find a home church up there. And they told me they were still members of your church here. And so pray for them. Really, really neat couple. And, Christmas, a lot of what Pastor Josh is leading you guys in, the I Am series, right, is leading up to Christmas, right, the time we celebrate Christ's coming. And I just want to encourage you before I share the word that there's really no greater time in the whole year to reach out to family and friends and neighbors and coworkers, right, to invite them to come to church with you. People's hearts and minds are just open at Christmas, right? Everybody has some story about how Christmas holds a special place in their heart. And where it might be difficult throughout the rest of the year to engage in conversation about your faith, about the gospel, about Christ, about church, people are really open during this time of the year. It's really incredible. And so I just want to encourage you and maybe even challenge you a little bit. When you leave here today, even during the message, after the message, think about who it is who's struggling in life, who it is who's walking in darkness, who it is that doesn't know Christ, that doesn't have the hope that we have as believers, and pray for them and pray that God would give you an opening there and invite them, at the very least, invite them to come and to hear the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, right? And I know in this church, the word of God is preached every Sunday morning and beyond. And so pray about that. Consider who you can invite. And you'll see that a lot of people are waiting for the invitation. They're just waiting. And we haven't had the courage or we've been fearful or doubtful or what if they reject us or what are they going to say or they're not interested. When in fact they are interested, they're just waiting for somebody to have the faith to say, hey, would you join me on Sunday morning? I'll come by and pick you up. So how many of you will be willing to do that in the next week? God bless you. The rest of you, pray God gives you faith and courage to step up in that way. I know we've already prayed, but I like to pray before I open the word and share. So just join me briefly, please. Father, I thank you so much for this privilege, for this opportunity to share your good news, your word, the truth about you this morning with this church and with the visitors that are here. Pray to God that you would use your word to speak to us, God, that we would be changed, that we would leave from here different than when we showed up this morning. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Open your Bibles with me, if you would, to John chapter 8. This is our primary passage of Scripture. we go through the I Am series, John chapter 8, and I'm just going to read out loud. I'm going to be reading from the New American Standard Bible, so it might be a little bit different than what you have, depending on your version. Just follow along with me, if you would. Blessed be the word. It says, then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the what? Light of the world. That's going to be our main focus for this morning as we look at the word. But Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, you are testifying about yourself. Your testimony is not true. And Jesus answered and said to them, even if I testify about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I'm going. You judge according to the flesh. I am not judging anyone. But even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone in it, but I and the Father who sent me. Even in your law, it has been written that the testimony of two men is true. I am he who testifies about myself, and the Father who sent me testifies about me. So they were saying to him, where is your Father? And Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. And these words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. Who can say amen for the word this morning? Man, I wish I was in Mexico right now sharing this message, because in Mexico, we can go for 4 hours preaching. Nobody said amen. Okay. There's so much here that we could look at and unpack. It's so powerful, and I'm limited in time. I want to respect that with you guys. And so let's just look at the very first part of this in verse 12, right? Jesus said, Jesus again spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. But what does that mean, the light of the world? He didn't say, I'm the light of Knightson, right? Or of Antioch, or of Northern California, right? Or not even of the U.S., I'm not the light of the Americans. I'm not the light of the, this class of people or people that come from that heritage. He says, I'm the light of the world. And I think a lot of times in our lives in America, we forget that God is the light of the whole world. He's no different in any place. He's not different from here or in Mexico or in China or in Africa. He's the same God in every place. Amen? And so it's really a blessing for me to look at that, and where he declares that he is, that's who he is in his person, the light of the whole world. And we can't be very selfish when we think about that. We can't be prejudiced and judgmental of people because of other colors of skin, right? Or their heritage or nationality or where they came from. God is the God of the whole world. God is the light of the whole world. He is the light. He's bright, he's shining, he's illuminating, he's penetrating, he's the source of illumination for the entire world. And I would suggest that he's the only source. I am. He didn't say we are. God is the light of the world, and he's the light for all. And the term light and the name Jesus are interchangeable here. Jesus equals light, and light equals Jesus. And he came into the world to shine his light. Because why? Because the world is full of darkness. This morning, we woke up over at Tony and Miriam's, and there was no electricity. There was no light. And I got up, and I went into the kitchen to get the coffee, and I realized the coffee maker is not going to work. And I started cursing. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't. But I'm a coffee guy in the morning, right? Like, it's prayer, it's Bible, it's coffee. They all go together. Amen? And I get in there, and there's a flashlight on, and I could see where I was walking because there was a flashlight. Even though there was no electricity, Tony has flashlights and had them on. And he says, "Hey, Pastor Dave, there's no electricity." He says, but I brought you some coffee." So what do you mean? He actually left, knowing that I love coffee, right? He left early in the morning, bought coffee, and brought it back and kept it warm so that when it was time for me to get up, I could have some warm coffee. Isn't that beautiful? What a beautiful man. Listen, the light in the darkness. Jesus came because the world is dark. It's cold. It's wicked, it's scary, it's evil, all over the world. It's a crazy place. Don't be surprised when you hear about, you know, people killing babies in the womb. Don't be surprised, right, when you hear about men marrying men and women marrying women and human beings cutting off body parts because they want to try to change their identity. Don't be surprised about that. The world is a dark place. But thank God, Jesus is the light, and he came into the world. That's why he's here. I want to share with you all four truths about Jesus being the light of the world this morning. Number one, light is hope. Jesus is our hope. He is the hope of the world. Number two, that the light of Jesus represents his presence. The light of Jesus represents his presence. Number three, light is fire. And number four, light is our identity. Light is our identity. The first one I want to deal with is light is our hope. Back in Jesus' day, when he says, "I am the light of the world," people were going to interpret that in different ways. The seafarer, the maritime guy, back in those days, they had to go out on ships when they traveled and they journeyed. They were on boats, and oftentimes they were in danger. They were shipwrecked. And so the guy who's been on a shipwreck and he hears the term light in the darkness, he has a certain perspective of the meaning of that. He's out floating on the water. And can you imagine being floating in the water in the middle of the sea at night in complete darkness? That would be a scary thing. Like what's coming up underneath me, right? Or what ships are passing by that might rescue me that I can't see? Or how far off is the land that I might swim to it? The light in the darkness was so powerful. All night long they were trembling and waiting and hoping and praying. And at the light of dawn they could see where they were at. They could reach out for hope if there was another vessel coming by. They could see how to get to land. Guys that were on journeys that weren't on the water, they were walking or they were on mules. And they would get to a certain place and they didn't make it far enough. And they had to sleep at night in the middle of nowhere. And in that place there were thieves and there were robbers and there were murderers. And at night they couldn't sleep very well because they didn't know who or what was lurking, what kind of big animal was coming seeking to devour them. And so they were hoping and praying and waiting and watching for the morning, for the dawn, that they could see where their enemy might be coming from or what direction they might need to go. There was the armies that when they went to battle, they would go down and sleep at night and they didn't know if the enemy was going to attack them. They didn't know what was waiting for them out there. How many were they going to go up against? They couldn't see those things, but the morning light brought the ability to see that and to understand the battle that they were about to face. Let me share with you something today. Many of you are going through battles in your lives. Relationship battles, health battles, financial battles, faith battles, battles with the county. There's all kinds of things going on. And I'm here to share with you this morning the good news of Jesus Christ, that he is your light. He is your hope. You might feel like your life or your business or your family is shipwrecked. Praise God, Jesus is the light of the world. He's coming to shine on your life. He's coming to give you hope. In this journey that we call life, we don't know how long we're going to be here. We don't know what obstacles we're going to face. But here's what we do know, that when we have Jesus, he is the light of our life. We can have hope no matter what we face, no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're struggling with, no matter who's coming against us, no matter what the enemy looks like or brings. In Jesus Christ, we have the hope of life because he is the light of the world. Can you receive that this morning? Jesus is the light of the world. And if we look back at Israel, when Israel got set free, right, from captivity, from being slaves in Egypt, God was leading them. You remember what he was leading them by? The pillar. It was a pillar of light. He came in a cloud of light. It was a pillar of fire. And he was leading them into where they needed to go. He was lighting the path for them to walk on. And you and I, when we're walking in this world, a lot of times we can't see very clearly. A lot of times we're walking in darkness just because that's where we live. That's what the world is. There's a lot of evil and wickedness going on. And my God, we need God to lead us and to guide us every single day. And you know what? Thank God that that's who he is, the light to lead us and to guide us. Your word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We sung that this morning. And I can tell you that the word is Jesus. Jesus is the word. He is the light and the lamp unto our paths. You want to know what to do? The Bible says in James, ask God. You need wisdom? Ask God. And if you ask him with faith, he will freely give you his wisdom, divine wisdom, not some manly human wisdom. But he is there to shine the light on our paths, to lead us and to guide us every step of the way. Exodus chapter 40, it talks about the cloud covered the tabernacle and his glory appeared. His glory appeared. Jesus, when we think about light, a lot of times we think about light like this light bulb here or the light up there. Because that's everything we know about light. We're born, we have electricity everywhere we go. We flip the switch, right? But you know what? When Jesus says, I am the light of the world, there was no electricity, friends. Where did light come from in Jesus' day? Came from the sun. And at night, where did light come from? Fire. Think about that for a moment. So I was meditating on this and praying for the word this morning to share with you guys. I began to realize that Jesus is not something that we switch on and we switch off. He's not a light bulb. Just like in the cloud and the pillar, the fire of God. The fire of God. The glory of God. We read stories in scriptures about when people got close to God, they had to look away because his glory shone on them so brightly, so powerfully, so gloriously. I don't know how or why, but one day I just had a little glimpse of the glory of God. The brightness of God just overwhelmed me. And in the brightness and the glory of God, there was a peace, there was a comfort, there was a holiness. It was something that I've never seen, experienced, or could even imagine on the face of this earth. It was absolutely tremendous. And I'm like, Lord, give me another glimpse of that. You know what I mean? Is that what heaven is going to be like? It is out of this world. It is glorious because why? He is glorious. But I want to touch on that point about God not being a light like electricity, but light as a fire. When you came to the Lord Jesus Christ and you repented of your sins and you put your faith in him, the Bible tells us that the first thing he does is he sends the Holy Spirit into our hearts as a seal until the day of redemption. Did you not feel something warm inside your heart that day? What was it? Who was it? That was God himself. God in the Spirit of Christ coming into your heart created a warmth in you, a burning sensation in you that just warmed up not just your body, but your entire soul. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to look at two verses together. Talk about it briefly. Jesus is the light. He's our hope. Jesus, the light of God, represents his presence in our lives and for us. And now we're going to see in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 and 29. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, Let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. And in those two terms, with reverence and awe, lead us into the next verse. It says, why? For our God is a what? Consuming fire. There it is. Jesus is the light of the world. God is a consuming fire. What does that mean? God is a consuming fire. The first thing I thought of when I saw this, I thought of Sodom and Gomorrah. You remember, most of you in this place today, you know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. It was full of sin and debauchery. And God rained down fire from heaven on that place. He destroyed it and all the evil and the wickedness within. That's an Old Testament story, but the verse that we're reading right now is in the New Testament, friends. See, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He always was, he is, he will forever be. He doesn't change. The same as God hated sin and evil and wickedness in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, he hates it today. He hates it in this city. He hates it in this town. He hates it in this state, in this country, and all around the world. He's the light of the world. He's the consuming fire of the world, and he hates sin. He hates the sin that's going on in our lives, in your life and in mine. He hates it. And for those of us who are here today who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a horrible expectation of the wrath of Almighty God. Without Christ, we have no hope. Without Christ, we have no light. We ourselves walk in darkness. And when you look at Scripture and it talks about darkness, it refers a lot of times to the own wickedness and evil in our own hearts and our own minds and our own attitudes and our own lives, and God hates it. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, God says that when you die, you're going to face God on Judgment Day, this God, the God of the world that brings light into darkness, hope for everybody, guidance. That same God is an all-consuming fire God who's going to pay everybody for their sins on Judgment Day. He's the just God. He cannot overlook sin. Understand that. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I invite you and I encourage you strongly to repent from your sins, to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that same God of destruction and wrath for evil and sinfulness, he will come into your life and he'll bring you a peace which passes all understanding. He will be the light of your life. And he will give you life. Jesus says, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. And so you have this great dichotomy. You have the wrath of God and the fire of God and the destruction of sin and wickedness and evil. And you have this hope of glory where God delivers us from the result and the wages of our sin. And he gives us life, life abundantly here and life for all eternity in the presence of Almighty God. Isn't that beautiful? And I would warn my brothers and sisters in Christ here, because there's warning in Scripture, that if you have once tasted the goodness of God, and you go back and you continue to practice sin in your life, Hebrews chapter 10 gives you a warning. He says, if you do that, there comes a point in time that there no longer remains a sacrifice for your sins, but only a horrible expectation of the wrath of God. If you're my brother or my sister in Christ today and you've been walking in sin, it's time to get right with God. And it's really simple. If you know the Lord, you know what it's like. You bow before God in humility and you cry out to him and you ask him to forgive you, and you know he will. That's why Christ died. He doesn't want you walking in that sin anymore. And I want to tell you, most of us in our public life, in our family life, there's probably not a whole lot of sin going on as Christians, but in your private life, in your secret life, in the deep areas of your heart, God wants to cleanse that. He wants to take it away from you. And if you've been battling with something, if you've been struggling with temptation and sin over and over and you can't haven't found to overcome it, you know what? Submit and surrender to the Lord and ask Him to do it for you because you know that you can't. And guess what? That all-consuming fire, He'll take it away. He'll burn it up. I remember we did a mission trip. We didn't preach the gospel in Thailand. And one of the things we were doing with the group that I was with, we took time alone with God and asked God to reveal to us the sin in our own life and write it down. And we wrote it all down on a piece of paper, and nobody saw it, but we built a bonfire, and we went out, and we set those pieces of paper in the fire, and it burned them up. And there is something releasing and revealing about God's goodness and His forgiveness for us, because that which was is no more. He brings life and light into our lives and into our future. He begins to light up our path and show us the path that He wants us to live. Friends, if you've been walking in sin, repent from it. Turn to the Lord. He's going to forgive you. He's going to bring joy into your heart and your mind and into your spirit. Can you say amen? Amen. The last thing I want to share with you is that light is our identity. This is really incredible, you guys. Matthew chapter 5. Turn with me there, please. Matthew chapter 5. The main focus of the message today is I am the light of the world. Jesus is talking about Himself, God in the flesh. It's His character, it's His person, it's His power, it's His love, it's His judgment, it's the hope that He brings, it's all of these things. That's who Christ is. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. The same Jesus, the same Christ, the same light of the world. He turns to you and to me. He turns to His followers and listen to what He says. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. Hold on a second. What do you mean? What are you talking about? You're the light of the world. He's talking to His followers here, to His disciples. How many of you are followers of Christ today? He's talking to you and He's talking to me. So He says, I am the light of the world. And then He turns around and He looks at us. He says, you are the light of the world. What the heck? And then He goes on. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Let me pause there for a moment. Remember, this is Jesus back in those days, a city on the hill. You ever been driving down the highway on a long trip and you see some light kind of in the sky or something and you drive along and you see lights along the hill and you get closer and closer and you realize that it's a city up there? How is that city lighted up? Just like this. Not so in these days. When Jesus was traveling and they saw a city on the hill, what was it that was lighting the city on the hill? Fire. It was flames. There it is again. I am the light of the world. And as He says that you are the light of the world, then He compares you and me, us together, like a city upon a hill. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor, verse 15, does anyone light a lamp and put it under a lampstand, but on top of it. And that light gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and what? Glorify your Father who is in heaven. You are the light of the world. See, here's the mystery. Here's the miraculous thing about being followers of Christ. From the time that He chose us to be born again, He also chose us to become like Christ. The life that He gives us the Holy Spirit that he puts in our heart, the Spirit of Christ himself that lives in us is a type of a fire. That light burns within us, and the purpose for that is that he wants us to reflect him. He wants us to become like him. He tells us in John 14, the things that I've done, you shall do these things, and greater than these things you shall do. For I'm going to the Father, but I'm going to send you the Comforter, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit. We're not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to be in you. Hallelujah. Christ is living in us, and our role in life is not to live for us, but to shine the light of God everywhere we go and in everything that we do. We are called to be the light of the world. Now, you and I can't do that. I've tried in my flesh. I've tried to do good. I've tried to be good. I've tried to, and I turn back around. I look in the mirror and I'm thinking, man, I just did that for selfish reasons. I did that because I wanted somebody to look at me to think more highly of me than they ought to. I wanted some kind of applause or some kind of glory. In my flesh, I can't do it. But it's only as I surrender, as I entregar. I told you guys I was going to fail at speaking English. Entregar, what does that mean, you guys? Give myself fully unto the Lord. Submit and surrender unto God and say, Lord, the work that you started in me, your word says that you're going to perfect it. So here I am. Come and have your will in my life and use me for your glory. Use me to shine your light and your goodness and your love and your hope on the world around me, in my family, in my neighbor, in my work, in my community, in my card group, in my singing group. Jesus, fill me with you. The more that we know Jesus, the more that we draw close to him, the more that we die to ourselves and pick up our cross and follow him, the more that he makes us like himself. And that is why he can turn around and say, you are the light in the darkness. But look at what he says about the lamp. Nobody lights a lamp and puts it under the lampstand, you guys. The purpose of the lamp is to be standing on top of the lampstand to illuminate the area in which the lamp stands. It's to glow bright. It's to burn stronger and brighter. It's to give light to everybody around you. You know why Jesus said that? Because many of us today in this room who have the Spirit of God in us, who have Jesus living in us, wanting to use us for his glory, we have hidden our lights under the lampstand. You have hidden your light under the lampstand. He's given you gifts. He's given you talents. He's given you resources. He's given you faith. He's given you love. He's given you all kinds of things that are straight from God, the Father of lights. He's given it to you. And you've hidden it in this dark world. Jesus wants you to stop hiding that which he's put in you and wants to shine and do through you, friends. He wants you to get up on top of the lampstand and burn bright for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can tell you, this world needs it. Your friends need it. Your family needs it. Your neighbors need it. Your workplace needs it. Your retirement community needs it. The hospital where you go for your visit needs it. The restaurant that you attend needs it. The supermarket needs it. Look around, friends. It's a dark and a dying world. And Jesus says, I've come to be the light in the world. That's why I've come, he says. I am the light in the world. And then he put in your heart, every one of you, his Spirit. His calling on each and every one of us is to be the light in the darkness. It's your calling. Live out your calling. With God's help, by his grace and the power of his Spirit. When you don't want to, tell him you don't want to. Confess it and ask him to give you that will. When you don't know how to, tell him that you don't know how to and ask him how, and he'll guide you and lead you by the light. He's a lamp unto your path. He wants to use you for his glory. He wants to use you to be a blessing to those that are around you. And you know what? One lamp can light a room, and another lamp can light another room. Another lamp can light this home or this area or this workplace or this table. But what happens when we put all of our lamps together? We are like a city on a hill, glowing for all to see. That's the church. We are the church. We are his church. And God has called us to shine bright for his glory and to light the path for others that are roaming in darkness. It's time to shine, friends. Ask the Lord to fill you with faith. Ask the Lord to fill you with his word. Ask the Lord to fill you with his spirit. You know, those lamps that are on the walls and in the temples, right? And I could go on and on. But there's this oil, right? It's lit and it continues to burn bright. It continues to be filled. We need to continue to be filled with God, with faith, with his word, with his spirit. And when he fills us, then we can burn brighter and brighter, and we can burn together and make a difference in this world. Can you say amen? I want to pray. I want to give you a moment to pray. Where are you at? Are you lost in the darkness? You know, the whole story about God being a consuming fire and the wrath of God, that is to bring you to a place of repentance. That is to wake you up and to say, hey, man, I don't want to die in my sin and go to hell. I don't want that. It's not to cause you to live in fear. It's to bring you to Jesus Christ, to cry out for forgiveness where he can do that. Those of you that have been walking in sin, it's time to get right with God today. Those of you who know that God's calling you, listen, some of you know that God's calling you to a particular area of ministry, to a particular area of service in the church or in the community, and you've been resisting it. You've been putting your lamp under that lampstand. Listen, today is the day you can say, you know what? Lord, I'm going to surrender. I'm going to do your will. Sorry for taking so long. Sorry for hiding. I'm ready. You know, Jesus says that when we shine bright for God, people will see our good works. And then you know what he says? People will glorify our Father in heaven. Do you want God to use you to bring glory to your heavenly Father? When they see your good works, they're going to glorify your Father in heaven. Let's take some time to pray together. I'm going to open this up in prayer, and then I'm just going to remain silent for a few minutes and let you deal with the Lord. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word, for your truth. Thank you that Jesus came as the light of the world. It's the light in the darkness. And now he's come into our own hearts and our own lives to be the light of our life. Thank you. Thank you for your grace and your mercy and your patience with us. Speak to us now and hear us now. Respond according to your loving kindness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son, Jesus. What a wonderful, wonderful season to celebrate. All your goodness. All your grace. And I pray at this moment that during this Christmas season, as Christmas lights are going up on homes and on trees, that every time that we look at it, that you would remind us that you are the light in the world and that you've called us to be the same. So wherever we go, wherever we're at, that we would be reminded who we are, that we might shine bright for you in that place, with those people. And I want to ask also that the areas of my life that have not been purified, the areas that are not sound and holy and pure and true, that you would burn them up, that those things would become like chaff, that the wind just blows away. I pray that for each and every one of us, that you would continue to just purify us as you purify fine gold, that all the other stuff would just be taken away. And I thank you that you are like that wonderful campfire in the winter. When our hands are cold and our feet are cold and we're stumbling around in the darkness, that you invite us to draw close to you. That you might shine your light on our paths, that you might warm us up from the inside out. Thank you, Lord. Light of flame this church, that it might shine bright with great works that glorify you, that the city around them, the people and the community around them would see all the good, amazing things they're doing through the individual lights here in this darkness, that they would be drawn unto you, that they would come out of the darkness and the cold and be drawn unto you through them, through your messengers, through your people, through those whom you call the light. Bless this church. Use it for your glory. Use it for this community. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. If you're here today and you had not made a decision before today or still haven't, to repent of your sins and put your faith in God, and please see me, Pastor Josh, one of the elders here, one of the deacons. There's many of us that would love to visit with you about that and help you to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. This life is short. Eternity is forever. And that's our hope in Jesus and our hope in glory. Amen? God bless you. Thank you.